We continue our worship with the scripture readings, which are taken from Proverbs regarding the poor. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for the Maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. This is the word of the Lord.
Greetings, church. It is good to be with you this morning. Those who were with us last week were blessed to hear our guest and brother, Reverend Dr. Sung Chan Ra, deliver a really wonderful sermon on lament, which somehow managed to be very humorous. Today, we are returning to our church's summer series on the book of Proverbs with a focus on justice for the poor and the vulnerable. It has been a tough week for the poor in our city. So let's hold on to what we learned about lamenting from last week while we move on with Proverbs today. Now, before we get too deep into the passages for today, I would like to say a few words about the book of Proverbs itself. Proverbs is attributed to King Solomon, the famously wise king of Israel, although babies may have a different impression. Though the wisdom recorded within the book is probably best seen as a collection of wise sayings from his time. Sometimes they are framed as the advice of a father to a son. Sometimes wisdom is personified as a woman whose voice would be foolish to ignore. Mostly Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings, of things that are true in principle, but not universal promises. And so an example of this might be Proverbs 10:4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. This is, generally, a true statement. Industriousness is more profitable than laziness. And yet, I'll bet that all of you, at least the adults, can think of a counterexample from their own lives. Someone you know has worked and worked with diligent hands, but who has not become wealthy despite that hard work. In some situations, the sayings in Proverbs turn out to be untrue, and yet, on the whole, they're still true. I think the book of Proverbs just kind of works like that. And that is not to say that the book of Proverbs or the Bible is naive about our lived realities. The book of Proverbs is placed in the middle of the so-called wisdom literature books of the Old Testament. Job and Psalms come before it, Ecclesiastes comes after, and all of those books are filled with lament and sorrow and tragedy. Song of Solomon's about something else, I'll tell you when you're older. But those first four books provide a lot of balance to contrast the straightforwardness of a verse like Psalms 10:4. And so with that comment or context in mind, I'd like to consider the four Proverbs that Pastor Andrew selected for us today. Welcome back. They are sayings about God's special concern for the poor and the way his people ought to act and speak on their behalf. And as is often the case, I found that writing this sermon was a convicting experience. Together with our recent series on Habakkuk and the practice of generosity, I am still working out what to do about today's passages, or perhaps more accurately, they are still working on me. So we'll work our way up to the more challenging ones, but let's dive in with the most positive proverb we have for today first. Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. That's kind of nice, right? Be kind to the poor and God will reward you. If you depersonalize it a bit and take God out of the equation, my sense is that most of the unbelieving people in our city would agree with the sentiment, be kind to the poor and you will reap the benefits. But if we water down the proverb into a simple sort of what goes around comes around, we'd miss the invitation into a special sort of relationship with God that he is making here. Be kind to the poor, know and love them, deepen your relationship with God all at once. In Psalm 50, God declares his ownership of everything in the world, but in the context of Proverbs 19:17, he is willing to regard us as his lenders, and he promises to repay us. Do take this offer. I will personally vouch for this one. Some of the best and most memorable days of my life have been spent in service to others, and that actually makes me wonder why I don't seek out opportunities to serve more often. I would expect that many of us have had similar experiences and believe Proverbs 19:17, even if we find it difficult to act on consistently. We live in a world of competing opportunities and demands, one that treats our responsibility to the poor as like real but not urgent, or maybe sometimes so overwhelmingly real and urgent that it's any attempt to tackle poverty just seems unachievable and we have to tune it out. Our next pair of proverbs for today challenge us to push past this fear and warn us to do better. Proverbs 14:31 says, "Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." And Proverbs 21:13 says, "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." These two new proverbs include serious words of caution. They speak in strong agreement with the whole of Scripture. God's warnings against callousness toward the poor are one of the most consistent messages in the Bible. Sometimes they take a form of a commandment, as in Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 and 8. "If one among you, one of your brothers, should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend to him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be." Sometimes God's care for the poor is expressed as a warning against oppression, as through the prophecy of Amos when he speaks out against the corrupt judges and leaders of Israel. "You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine." Ignoring this warning, the northern kingdom of Israel as a nation paid for their leaders' callousness when God sent the Assyrians to conquer them. God's judgment on those who mistreat the poor is not limited to Israel. In the Bible, just treatment of those in poverty appears more as a universal standard by which God judges cities and nations. The prophet Ezekiel highlights social inequality and mistreatment of the poor as one of the chief reasons that Sodom was destroyed. The prophet Habakkuk lists exploitation and unjust gain as central to his condemnation of Babylon. Jesus also tells a story about the plight of a rich man who ignores the needs of a poor man, and his fate is really the worst of all. Luke 16:19-24 records a story of the rich man and Lazarus. "There was a rich man who was dressed in fine purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered in sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' And when the rich man pleads with Abraham to spare his brothers from a similar fate by warning them, Abraham responds that even if they didn't get the message from the prophets, even sending Lazarus back from the dead would not be able to correct their course." The New and Old Testaments agree some of God's strongest condemnations and promises of judgment or the withholding of his favor are reserved for those whose hearts are hardened toward the poor, who are indifferent to their circumstances. In the Bible, destruction awaits individuals, cities, and nations who ignore the plight of the poor. And so it would be wise, then, to heed the advice of these passages. It would have been particularly wise if the author of these Proverbs today and his son were to have had heeded the advice of these passages. But alas, knowing what is wise and living out that wisdom are not the same. Both 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles recall Solomon, he's the one in the middle, as someone who put a hard yoke on his people by requiring heavy labor from them. And when his son, Rehoboam, above me, is confronted with his father's legacy, he has the opportunity to turn away and repent. Instead, he doubles down on the harshness, ultimately leading to the end of the unified kingdom and the division of the north and the south into Israel and Judah. Solomon and his son, it seems, led Israel directly into the sort of negative circumstances warned about by Solomon's own Proverbs. That is a tricky thing about wisdom. It isn't knowledge. Solomon knew, we know. That is, we assent to the idea that generosity to the poor is good. But wisdom demands more from us than that. Wisdom calls us to embody and live out that knowledge. Proverbs 21:13 warns us that whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Let us open our ears to the poor and hear their own words. This week, in our own city, our government decided to expel several encampments of people without permanent homes, primarily those who were located between the White House and the Kennedy Center. As his possessions were being removed from the park where he has slept for the last several months, a 67-year-old man named David Betty had this to say: I look at this as anti-Christian. I remember the passage of, as you have done to the least of these, you've done to me. Others who were being cleared out expressed a sense that they were being removed because they were eyesores, that they were bullied, that they lived lives that were always on edge, and that their poverty had been criminalized. Don't be like Solomon and Rehoboam. Hear them. The opportunity to hear our poorer neighbors is available to each of us through volunteering in our city, or if you've got $3, you can buy a copy of Street Sense, whose headline this week is DC's Encampments Under Threat. It is the only newspaper in our city focused on homelessness and poverty issues, and it is produced both by and for people who are homeless or impoverished in the capital. We need to hear them, and after hearing them, then we must speak about what we've heard. Our final proverb for today insists that we do just that. Proverbs 31:8-9 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." This is where I get stuck. Sometimes when I'm called into action, I don't know what to do. Where I'm called to speak about a subject that I don't know well, that's particularly true. Still, I am commanded to speak here, so I've gathered a few thoughts, impressions of mine, about the barriers that might stand between the poor and our assistance to them as a church or a society, or individuals. So allow me to speculate a bit. Two barriers that I think might be holding us back from advocacy are fear and uncertainty. What if we do it wrong? What if I'm being taken advantage of? What if by helping we cause people to become dependent on our assistance to them? What if their need overwhelms us? What I can truthfully say on behalf of the poor today is that I don't think the Bible gives us a lot of room to claim those fears as reasons for inaction. If our priority is to distinguish between the deserving and undeserving poor, and our response is to protect ourselves from being taken advantage of and to delay assistance until we can figure out who really deserves it, we are missing opportunities to demonstrate God's grace, and we are missing the point of verses like Luke 6:30. where Jesus says, "Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back." Jesus frequently and consistently commands his followers to prioritize compassion over self-protection. Solving poverty may not be attainable by any scheme we can devise, but inaction is also not an option. One other fear that I also sense holds people back from loving their poor neighbors is the sense that poverty is a reflection of their personal failures or moral shortcomings. What I can say on behalf of the poor is that the Bible includes a lot of stories that should turn us away from that assumption. I mentioned Job earlier. Remember the suffering of Job, who in the very first verse of the book about him was described as a man who was blameless and upright, who feared God and shunned evil. The entire book reflects on his faithfulness to God despite undeserved suffering. Solomon, the author of both Proverbs and also of Ecclesiastes, acknowledges the same disconnection between righteousness and reward in Ecclesiastes 9:11. "I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all." Time and chance happen to all of us. If we are well, if we are more financially stable than our neighbors, we must not allow ourselves the false comfort of believing that we are blessed with comfort and good health simply because we deserve it more, or that our neighbors experience hardships because they've earned them. Now, at this point in the sermon, I had considered showing you all a bunch of charts and graphs that demonstrate some economic data, but since I've already hit you with 16 scripture references or passages that I've read, I'm going to go a little easy on you with the Excel spreadsheets. I won't push my luck, but stick with me though, because this is all important. What I can say for the poor of the city in our country is that they are living somewhere where economic productivity is at an all-time high and has been growing pretty consistently for a century. That the amount of wealth being generated in the United States on a per-person basis is rising higher and higher, but that over the last four decades or so, that wealth has been decreasingly available to the workers that generate it. The struggles of the American working class are described with a lot of love and sadness in the book Tightrope, Americans Reaching for Hope by Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Wu Dunn. One key fact that they highlight is that the wealth of the poorest half of the Americans has reflected only a tiny share of our country's wealth for a long time, despite the growing wealth all around us and despite our increased productivity. I won't attribute this trend to any particular policy, party, or leader, but I will encourage you to consider which policies, particularly rules related to housing, are benefiting you right now that might need to be set aside for the sake of the poor. So what I can say on behalf of the poor is that they are not poor because there is a scarcity of wealth available in the United States. Likewise, I could say on behalf of the hungry in DC, in Gaza, and everywhere, is that although the world currently, miraculously, produces enough calories to feed everyone on the planet, there are people in the world who are starving. It's just not because of the scarcity of food. One other thing I can say on behalf of the poor, with regret, is that I don't know them very well. That I haven't invested in knowing poor people for a long time, and that if I knew them better, I would probably have more specific ideas about how to speak on their behalf. This is my loss as well as theirs, and my challenge for myself as well as for all of us is to invest in relationships with poorer people that will give our advocacy depth and nuance. I think it's probably much more in line with what the author of Proverbs had in mind when he commanded his readers to speak up for the rights of those who were destitute. If we are going to speak on behalf of the poor, we owe it to them to be effective, to get to know them and to share their concerns because they're our friends. Be generous to the poor, lend to them, hear them, speak with them. Once you get to know them, then speak for them. In the context where you have agency, or a real chance to make a difference on their behalf. Amen.